We do have both designated representatives for 171 in the room right now, correct?
You ready?
Holding for the designated reps.
Oh. Should we have like a feature on the door that like locks it as soon as people come in? Make sure they don't escape.
Maybe a chess clock?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, no. All right. We are back on the record. The designated reps are back. The lawyers are back. The board's back. Go ahead, Mr. Gruskin.
And Chair, thank you, Mark Gruskin, on behalf of the performance. I think it might be useful. I think we do have some more information.
Okay. Your mic, sorry, Mark.
We do have language that we would propose. As a reminder, Section 47 of Article 5 of the Colorado Constitution provides for reapportionment criteria right now. 47.2 requires that counties not be added to other counties, obviously subject to equal population. Then, to the extent that counties have districts that more than one district in them of the same house, there are city and town splits that are as small as possible. And then Section 47, paragraph 3, lists other considerations, including communities of interest, to be considered where possible, in addition to the other federal requirements. So there isn't really a formula per se. There is a way to look at the criteria. And so we think that the language that makes sense, which allows people to know that there is some flexibility, is to talk about, after establishing criteria to be met, by prioritizing the preservation of communities of interest in political subdivisions after federally mandated redistricting requirements are met. So by saying prioritizing, we're not saying it's an absolute with communities of interest and political subdivisions for either one of them. And we basically reflect what this measure does, which is set up a more of a series of tiers that can be checked off, if you will, in a specific way than exist under existing law.
Prioritizing what?
Prioritizing the preservation of communities of interest and political subdivisions after federal redistricting requirements are met. In the current language that we struck, basically talked about criteria, including federal requirements and preservations of communities of interest and political subdivisions. So it really is riffing, but to the chair's concern, providing a lot more room for voters to understand that this is a structure, and but not without possible exceptions.
I just don't think it directs them that there's been any change.
Well, what if we say reprioritizing? Or prioritizing well, if there wasn't a change, it wouldn't be in the title. You never describe the law as it currently exists. So if the voters are implicitly aware of that, they would know that they're looking at a change that to existing law. I mean, we say in the first six words, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution. They know that these are the changes being described. So,
I mean, I think I prefer what we have up there.
And I know that to the extent that the issue of exceptions is important, I think, you know, we could say subject to certain or newly specified exceptions or whatever, so that we can be economical in the language that we use without trying to describe exceptions that are really a fairly complex legal detail of the measure.
But the point is, communities of interest are going to become an exception to the boundaries, and your language makes it sound like those are the same thing.
Well, actually, under the measure, communities of interest and political subdivisions are treated at the same level of consideration. There's a presumption that political subdivisions will be maintained whole unless there is a community of interest that's more important.
Right.
So we couldn't come up with in 35 minutes
yeah.
a way to say that other than to let people know that it is not necessarily a binding structure, because it's a priority.
And your measure would eliminate the prohibition on combining pieces of two counties that's currently in the
right.
Constitution, right?
I mean, I think I prefer what we have up there, but I mean, otherwise we could say allowing an exception to the presumption that it should be contained in the single district upon a showing of a community of interest or something like that. But
how about something like allowing divisions of counties, cities, you know, list those things to account for communities of interest, just to throw out.
That'd be fine, too.
Allowing the division of, and then listing those.
A county, a city and county, or town.
Into multiple districts to account for communities of interest. I don't love that language, but
between multiple districts, maybe.
Okay. Between multiple districts. To account for communities of interest, or we can massage that.
Let me just say that that language basically leaves voters with the sense that you can take a pizza cutter to a political subdivision and put it in multiple districts if it's the commission's discretionary decision to do so. It ignores the language that is very specifically used at the beginning of this paragraph. As much as is reasonably possible, the commission must preserve communities of interest and political subdivisions. So that you've taken what is a very clear emphasis on maintaining political subdivisions and made it appear to be a matter of happenstance if they stay together. And that clearly is not the intent of the measure, and it's not the way it's written.
So what would help? Permitting under certain circumstances the division?
Okay. That's, I think.
I start to worry about wordiness, but.
Yeah, no, I hear that. First of all, I would take out the word multiple. There's no reason, and for, it's not grammatically correct because you're using between, which would suggest two. And it would seem to me that this only makes sense if you include language about how a factor is preserving communities of interest and political subdivisions, but allowing for division of a political subdivision to account for a community of interest, certain communities of interest. Here's the other thing. It's got to be a community of interest that relates to redistricting, and you have to prove it by a preponderance of the evidence. And this, that's why this is such a complex concept. To try and put it in a line and a half is, which isn't to say that this isn't a change and it can't be addressed, but
so we could say certain communities of interest. I'm fine with that. What was your other sort of qualifying language?
In some circumstances. Or generally preserving political subdivisions, but allowing the division.
Well, I don't know that it will generally preserve them. It emphasizes it, but you could take a pizza cutter now and cut it up into your 8 pieces of pie and draw it down the state.
Well, but the measure is written and uses the word preservation, and it places an emphasis on preservation by saying as much as is reasonably possible.
Yeah. But if there's evidence in the record and, you know, the room packs with people saying, I have a community interest with, you know, Southern Colorado, so draw a pizza pie down to Southern Colorado from Denver based on my legislative interest of,
Pizza cutter analysis fails to take in account the express language that was written into the measure at the end of this paragraph. When the commission divides a county, city and county, or town, it shall minimize the number of divisions of that county, city and county, or town. So if you want to talk about minimizing any division of counties, cities, or towns to account for certain communities of interest, you would be accurately portraying that there can be that division, but that the direction to the commission is to minimize any such splits if they're going to undertake them at all. You can't say allow as if it were a blanket level of authority for the commission when it doesn't have that authority.
How about presuming that political subdivisions will be preserved but allowing the division?
Why not say minimizing divisions to account for certain communities of interest?
Well, it's not necessarily minimizing. I mean, minimizing the division is a standard, but it's not done to preserve the community of interest. I mean, your community of interest could be I-70, right? I can show up and say, I'm from Grand Junction and my community of interest is Westminster because we all share the same highway and transportation's a legislative issue. That's my community of interest. And then somebody else has a community interest drawing a line from I-25 in Denver down to El Paso County. And I have a community of interest along I-25 for the same reason. I mean, this, and Denver wouldn't even necessarily have to be divided up more than Denver's already divided up. It would just be diluting votes somewhere else on based on this, quote, community of interest. And that's a huge change.
Well, with all due deference, the notion that you're going to have a House or Senate district that stretches from Denver to Grand Junction would mean that you, in order to get the population requirements, couldn't go probably more than 50 feet on the other side of the highway.
Yeah.
Well, that runs right into the compactness mandate.
Yeah, but there's a district, what, that goes from Boulder all the way along the agriculture in Longmont that has a community of interest along what highway is that, 121 or whatever?
I trust you. I don't know.
I'm just saying that's a community of interest. And I don't know how much they have in common with the people who live in downtown Boulder.
Then basically you make the point, which is that this isn't changing that circumstance, which, as you point out, could exist under current law. It doesn't need to be described as if it is.
Yeah, but that one you didn't have to necessarily divide the county. Now you can divide a county too. That one stayed in a county, I think.
I think you misportray the measure with the language that's up on the board. I think you've got to use the fact that this measure mandates the commission to minimize these divisions, if they're going to be undertaken to account for communities of interest.
Well, it's really unless, minimized unless. You have to keep it together unless.
No. It's the predicate clause of the sentence I quoted, when the commission divides a city, county, or town. So it's not unless, it's the nexus is there. So.
But they're not supposed to divide the city or town.
Right.
Unless.
Right. So it's preserving political subdivisions and communities of interest and minimizing divisions of political subdivisions. You're right. You can't describe one without the other.
No. And I'm fine with what we have up there. And I would actually, given the way that it's written now, potentially suggest moving it back up, because now the first priority we have is actually the last priority. Maximizing the number of competitive districts.
I'm sorry, you want to move what to where?
I want to move confused. What we have about allowing back up to the top, because now what we have is establishing the criteria, and then we have including maximizing the number of competitive districts, which is...
So you put it after districts on line 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so before it was sort of between, so yeah. That's... I mean, I am inclined to defer to proponents on this. I mean, I think pretty clearly competitiveness and unbiased districts is their central focus in trying to get this thing passed. And while it may be a pretty big effect to allow this division, and I defer to your expertise on that because I'm far from an elections expert, I don't think it's more central to the measure than the goals and purposes of the measure.
Yeah, but if the criteria of competitiveness is the last thing you consider, you may never get there. I mean, I think back, way back when these started, I advocated for not even putting it in, but.
Well, if you really want to start with what's important to the proponents, then you'll start on line 7. Prohibiting plans drawn for the purpose of protecting candidates or parties or that have the effect of abridging minority votes. If you want to start with the main intent of the proponents, that's it. And then this is the how we get there. But without saying as a predicate to the allowing clause that the measure directs the commission to preserve communities of interest in political subdivisions, you're picking and choosing among the criteria you're choosing to describe in the title. You want to pick and choose, that's fine, but either describe them all and describe them correctly, or don't describe them, but just say that you're setting forth the criteria. And I'm not second-guessing your judgment that the criteria may be required to be described, but I'm saying don't describe them in part. Because that, frankly, is misleading to voters, to think that that is the focus and the primary change in effect. I mean, that's a subclause of a subclause, and it's now on line 3 of the ballot title.
Well, I don't mind moving the other part up first, but my intent in writing the title is not to put what's important to the proponents, it's to put what's important to the voters. And to the extent that a change is being made in the way that we draw lines, I think that that's important to the voters.
I wouldn't disagree. I would say that the statute says that the title is supposed to reflect the intent and meaning of the measure, and the proponents have drawn the measure, and you've seen a zillion of them. And at no point in any of your other titles has a condition to a redistricting criterion ended up even in the title. You have talked generally about the criteria and what gets established, but you don't even do that here.
Yeah, I don't mind moving that other prohibiting plans drawn. We could put that first. And then say allowing, and then put. Criteria, and then put maximizing.
And just, not that you necessarily wonder about it, but besides the clause that you've just elevated, the reformatting of criteria such that there are priorities within the measure, I mean, that trumps this exception of those times that a political subdivision may be divided. So to reflect this intent, I believe you've got to say establishing criteria that include preserving communities of interest and political subdivisions, but allowing the division of a between districts to account for certain communities of interest. I mean, you don't have to do anything through the title board. You can do what you want to do. But I'm just telling you that in terms of reflecting the intent of the amalgamated proponent group, you would best reflect that by actually saying what the reformatted criteria are rather than what the exception to the reformatted criteria are. If you feel you need to address them both, do so.
I mean, I'm fine the way it is. If one of you wants to rewrite it, so we say prioritizing but allowing. I mean, I think it reads fine because it's prohibiting this and then allowing that, and then it goes into criteria.
I hate to be contrary. Well, all right. Sometimes I hate to be contrary. But you would not know from this title as structured that there is a prioritization of criteria. You would think that there's an exception and that there's competitiveness. I don't know. I'm a voter. I'd want to know that.
Well, we could put the criteria thing first and then say prohibiting plans and then say allowing the other thing. Where's that one? Establishing the criteria to be met by new district maps. That could go first.
Okay. Leaving out competitiveness or including
just
it?
No, just to have it at the end.
Okay.
I think we're talking about moving it to line 6 right after the semicolon. Right?
Oh, I think we were talking about moving it way up.
Oh, okay.
After 3.
If we do that, I think we would want to say to the extent possible, maximizing.
I just take one last run if you're
sure.
On line 7 before allowing. I think the prioritizing language as a lead into that allowing language would give voters context.
So what would you say there?
After the semicolon on line 7, prioritizing the preservation of communities of interest and political subdivisions of certain political subdivisions.
I thought it was certain communities of interest.
No, that's the exception. It doesn't preserve, say, school districts or urban flood and drainage districts, but allowing the division of such a political subdivision in And rather than use communities of interest again, I would just say under specified circumstances. So if voters want to know exactly what the condition is, they can read the measure.
I kind of preferred it saying to account for communities.
Is that the only new thing?
I think so. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Probably take out such on line 8. And why do we say certain communities of interest?
Because they have to be related to legislative priorities.
Okay.
Let me just say for the record, the only communities of interest are the ones that are defined by the measure. So by saying certain, the only thing that that communicates is that those are communities of interest that are of such weight that their preservation is a higher priority than preserving the political subdivision. So just, I mean, you may or may not think that certain fits there, but that's the textual basis.
I think it's fine. How does everyone feel about the description of the
prioritizing the preservation?
The board and everything. We never talked about that yet.
I'm sorry, the description. Well, the first thing is this one, I think, right? So we're on not the congressional, but the legislative. So we're not establishing a new commission, right? We're reconfiguring one that exists because it's done by a commission, right?
Yeah, we're renaming it.
That's how we said before.
Okay. What did we say, renaming?
We said renaming the commission that redraws state legislative boundaries, but I would just say renaming the commission, and if we want to say that draws maps. Or I'd even say that. I do have some curiosity. Are we, given the court's involvement, are we limiting the commission to saying they draw the maps? Is that your preference, as opposed to like us just establishes districts or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's
more accurate to say maps. Okay. And do we need state senate and state representative as opposed to just state legislative districts?
I like that change.
As long as we don't say General Assembly.
Or Amalgamated Proponent Group.
Yeah, Amalgamated.
Which I think if we ever start a title board garage band, it should be what we call it.
Amalgamated. We could do trivia night.
Maybe keep state.
Right. Yeah, that was my thought. But one state. So yeah. State legislative districts.
Right.
So then on 3 and 4, should we say maps instead of plans?
I think so. And then I'll eat both of those. Yeah, we could probably just word search for plan wherever. I think the rest is probably maps, but we can. Like that. All right. Now, so with this next clause, with the for the purpose stuff, can we cut down on some language and just say to protect any candidate for state legislative office or any political party?
Up a line, Stephen, then.
So just to protect.
And I have a question for the proponents here about this next clause, the denying or abridging a person's right to vote. The language of the measure itself says, including by diluting the impact. Is there any other way in the map drawing process that this can happen, this denial or abridgment, other than by diluting the group impact?
Well, honestly, the language was appropriated from the Voting Rights Act. And therefore, with the intent that the language would reflect the type of protection that is available today at the federal level. And therefore, I can't say that there is a particular level of protection, but I don't believe that the proponent's intent is to depart from that same level of protection.
So I don't know if this was Jason's question, but how would a map deny or abridge a person's right to vote?
That is my question.
Well, I mean, through the
other than through diminishing the influence,
yeah.
Right? The practices of packing and cracking are what is currently known as a way of diluting the vote.
Given that, I mean, I understand the point about being consistent with federal law, but this is the title, not the text of the measure, and
right.
The text is what any. Quarantine where they go, I would like to streamline that, I think. I'll ponder whether we need for the purpose, but I might say maps drawn to, maybe comma, or that have the effect of, diluting the electoral influence, or I mean, if we want to be clear for the people, if not, so try even the voting power of any racial or language minority group.
I guess we could just say diluting the vote.
I think I want racial minority groups in the measure.
Well, I know, but instead of electoral influence, diluting the vote?
Instead of vote instead of electoral influence.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I think I would say, I mean, it's a group thing. Well, to me, like sort of one person, I mean, kind of one person has a vote, I might say like the voting power. I mean, that's what it's really talking about, I think. Or track the language of the measure, which is electoral influence, but I think that's less clear. And we can take out, I believe ethnics, I don't think that's actually in there, but I'll maybe make sure. Yeah, it says racial or language minority group is the measure's language.
Okay.
Because what? I'm sorry?
Ethnic's not in there.
It actually is. And this is a point of contention because race or racial are defined terms to include ethnic group. This is extremely important. Let me tell you why. Hispanics are not treated as a race in the United States Census. Therefore, they are not actually counted as a race for purposes of the United States Census.
Okay.
They are, however, treated as an ethnic group and therefore documented in the census.
I see it in the definition.
Yeah.
It's only 16 pages apart.
So. No. I'm not suggesting that you overlooked anything. I'm actually grateful for the opportunity to put that on the record so that it is clear what the intent of the measure is.
So I think as a matter of grammar, we have to say on line 4, maps drawn to dilute or that have the effect of diluting.
That's better for sure. And then you take out the commas, I think. Or well.
Or at least move it to after diluting.
Yeah.
I think commas are optional there.
Yeah.
And is there, I missed the reason why voting power rather than the language out of the measure of the electoral influence.
If you like electoral influence, that's fine.
I think just seems a little either way.
It's more syllables, yeah. But
how do we like the description of the commissioners?
I think I'm. Let's see if I have anything on this. I think the rest of it is all in order. Do we reference nonpartisan staff anywhere before the very end here?
I don't think so.
And I might, after nonpartisan staff, I would say something like that supports the commission. So we have some idea what we're talking about.
Do we need to refer to the staff at all?
Well, the staff, if there's a deadlock, submits their third map to the commission for consideration.
Well, can we just say the commission or their nonpartisan staff?
Even better.
So that we don't have to say support.
That works for us.
It's the commission or their. There's an or.
And then on line 14, do we need to specify federal, state, county, or city, or can we just say elected public officials?
So if you're a school district board member, you could potentially serve on this commission. So I would love a way to shorten that. So I'm not arguing for the language, but just there are some elected officials for whom this prohibition is inapplicable.
Now, I think, Stephen, we may need a semicolon on line 15 instead of a comma after commission.
Maybe there was a straight comma in there somewhere.
I'm going to read it. And then
can I ask one question? Mm-hmm. Whether on line 2, renaming kind of makes it look like it's this benign change. And while it's true, I mean, it really...
I want to say changing the commission?
Modifying. I'd like that. Reconstituting.
Yeah, reconfiguring,
I'm going to put shaking. Refigurating in there.
Drawing, remapping, replanning. I'm sorry, you know where my head is.
Reconfigurating. Put that in there.
You have to spell it.
Yeah, changing or modifying, I think. Maybe it's just changing the commission, because it really, and that's the point, it is a change. Yep. It's, as I said, it's not inaccurate.
Well, we're referring to the commission itself, so it's
altering.
Because, I mean, it's, well, the rest is detailed down below, so changing is probably just great.
Yeah. Changing is what we're going with.
I think so.
Sorry.
Okay. All right, so right now it reads, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning legislative redistricting and in connection therewith, changing the commission that draws maps for state legislative districts, establishing the criteria to be met by new district maps, prohibiting maps drawn to protect any candidate for state legislative office or political party, and maps drawn to dilute or that have the effect of diluting the electoral influence of any racial, ethnic, or language minority group, prioritizing the preservation of communities of interest and certain political subdivisions, but allowing the division of a political subdivision between districts to account for certain communities of interest to the extent possible, maximizing the number of competitive districts, requiring at least 8 of the 12 commissioners, including at least 2 commissioners not registered with any political party, to approve a redistricting map, specifying the qualification and methods of appointment of commissioners, 4 of whom must be registered with the state's largest political party, 4 of whom must be registered with the state's second largest political party, and 4 of whom must not be registered with any political party, prohibiting certain persons, including professional lobbyists, elected public officials at the federal, state, county, or city level, candidates for the General Assembly, and campaign employees from serving on the commission, and limiting judicial review of a map to a determination by the Supreme Court that the commission or their nonpartisan staff committed an abuse of discretion.
I do.
So should we move the clause talking about the constitution of the commission before the requirement that at least 8 of 12 of them approve? We need to switch those two. You know, specifying the qualifications to go before requiring at least.
So, you know, we tried to link the appointment with the prohibitions. So the lines 10 through 13 with lines 13 through 15. So that's why, and also, you know, the notion of a supermajority is a major change and a major intent of Ms. Curry and Ms. Larson.
Well, I don't feel strongly about it. I would probably move it then to down to line 15. Right before the judicial review section. And then on line 16, I'd probably say its nonpartisan staff instead of their nonpartisan staff.
The only other thing is I think we can economize just a little on words by just saying, instead of elected public officials at the federal, state, county, or city level, just elected federal, state, county, or city officials.
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Then I would move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 171 as we have amended it and it now appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That takes us backwards to 2017-2018 number 170, congressional redistricting.
Madam Chair, my name is Mark Bruska, and I represent the proponents who are in attendance and who have executed their affidavits, and I'd ask them to introduce themselves to the board.
For the record, Carla Castedo.
For the record, Jason Syme.
And do you want to start out just telling us what you believe the single subject of this initiative is?
Yes, Madam Chair. We believe the single subject of this measure is congressional redistricting and the establishment of a commission to take the legislature's role in that assigned power.
All right. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on this one? No? All right, let's do single subject. Jason?
Sure. I move that board finds that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 170 has a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Second.
All right. We're going to take a break because I got to go.
Okay.
Aye. All those in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye. Stephen, do you know if there's for planning on a?
I think we do need to sub someone in, so it'll be brief pause, 5 minutes or so, while I summon her replacement. Just 1 moment. The mic's rolling.
Okay, we're back on the record. My name is Ben Schler. I'm the legal and policy manager here at the Secretary of State's office, sitting in for Suzanne Steyert. We're going to keep going with number 170. Mr. Gruskin.
So the board has made its single subject decision. I believe there was a vote.
Correct.
And so now it would be up to you to make your 55% decision. And the proponents are of the opinion that because this is a measure that adds language to the Constitution, it requires the 55% vote.
So if I could take one step back. It was moved and seconded, but there was not a vote on the single subject.
Oh, really glad you
did. Okay, moving back to the single subject question, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes. Okay, and on to the 55%. Do we have discussion from the board or a motion?
I would move that the board finds that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 170 does more than merely repeal language in the Constitution and requires a 55% vote.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes. Okay, on to setting. Mr. Gruskin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I think that the board has had some exhaustive conversations on legislative redistricting that it does not need to revisit on this one, because the same provision that seemed to cause so much interest doesn't exist here in terms of a presumption that is disproven. So, but that having been said, I would like to provide the board with what was my redlined version of this title, but would also suggest that with a few tweaks, the title for 171 could be revamped for 170.
Very good.
If I may.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, if I could, Mr. Chair, the title that was set for number 171 reads an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning legislative redistricting. This title would read an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning congressional redistricting, and in conjunction therewith, I think the initial phrase, establishing a commission and transferring the state legislature's responsibility to draw congressional district maps to the commission, that clause to the commission may need to be replaced, but I think that that can replace the clause changing the commission that draws maps for state legislative districts. And then everything, well, let me just stop there rather than get way, way, way ahead of myself. But I think there's really only one other clause that would need some sort of change. And then, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's your pleasure, but I can go walk you through the rest of the title in terms of the changes that would be needed to make this measure reflective.
Yeah.
On line four, rather than state legislative, it would be congressional districts. Oh. Right, establishing the criteria. On line 4 to 5, instead of state legislative office, it would be for Congress. On line 7, the semicolon would go after subdivisions, and the language, but allowing the division of a political subdivision between districts to account for certain communities of interest, would be stricken. Then on lines 13 to 14, it would be at the end of 13, instead of candidates for the General Assembly, it would be candidates for Congress. And then I'm going to do a quick conferral. I believe that that would be accurate.
So, Stephen, on line 3, instead of divide the state into congressional districts, it's draw congressional district maps.
Right, because it was Senate and So just to correct myself, on line 12, where it says candidates for Congress, Mr. Hobbs correctly points out that it is candidate for federal elective office. So it's really, unless you read Congress to be United States Senate and the House, but that's really not how it's used here. I suppose if you were a candidate for president, that would be a problem too. But just to be clear, candidates for Congress is not inaccurate, but it's not complete.
So on line four, maps drawn to protect any candidate for Congress, it's also current incumbents,
right?
Who may or may not be candidates. Although I guess if you're redrawing, there would have to be a candidate for it to be protecting them. I guess I'm thinking out loud here.
No. It's a really good question that you raise. But if you're not running, then you don't trigger the same level of concern as if you were. Believe me, it took an afternoon for us to figure that out.
No, I talked myself out of a change.
On line three, did we in the last one have establishing the criteria linked down to the maximizing still? I forget what it looked like when we said it before. I just want to see how it sets up. No, I guess not. Okay. Never mind.
Anything else from the board?
And just to be clear, on line 12, where it says federal office, do you believe, and it may be, that a candidate for federal office isn't necessarily a candidate for an appointive office, a cabinet or sub-cabinet position or an appointment, that it is, in fact, just if you're I could make the argument that you're a candidate for office if your name is under consideration for a position like U.S. Attorney, for instance, but that may also be reading way too much into the language, and I defer to what the board, whether the use of elective between federal and office is useful.
Fisher says.
In terms of understanding.
The measure says elective?
Elective. The measure does include the word elective.
Please. I think we're good to go then.
Okay. I will read the title as it's composed, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning congressional redistricting and in connection therewith establishing a commission and transferring the state legislature's responsibility to draw congressional district maps to the commission, establishing the criteria to be met by new district maps, prohibiting maps drawn to protect any candidate for Congress or political party, and maps drawn to dilute or that have the effect of diluting the electoral influence of any racial, ethnic, or language minority group, prioritizing the preservation of communities of interest and certain political subdivisions to the extent possible, maximizing the number of competitive districts, specifying the qualifications and methods of appointment of commissioners, four of whom must be registered with the state's largest political party, four of whom must be registered with the state's second largest political party, and four of whom must not be registered with any political party, prohibiting certain persons, including professional lobbyists, elected federal, state, county or city officials, candidates for federal elective office, and campaign employees from serving on the commission, requiring at least 8 of the 12 commissioners, including at least 2 commissioners who are not registered with any political party, to approve a redistricting map, and limiting judicial review of a map to a determination by the Supreme Court that the commission or its nonpartisan staff committed an abuse of discretion.
I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 170 as has just been read and appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Hirschkin.
Thank you very much, members.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
All set. Thanks, sir.
Okay, we are back on the record. Also, for the record, Julie Pellegrin has replaced Jason Gallander as a representative for the Office of Legislative Legal Services. Next up on our agenda is 2017-2018 number 175, runoff primary elections, and our proponents are here at the podium.
My name is Hattie Reed.
Thank you.
Yep. For the record, Anna Cummerlow.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gwen Benevento. I'm representing the proponents today.
Great. Ms. Benevento, if yes. We could start with you just letting us know what you believe your single subject is.
We believe the single subject of this initiative is establishing a runoff primary election when no candidate for an office receives at least 50% of the votes in a primary election.
Okay. And is there anyone who would like to testify on the single subject matter? No? Discussion from the board? Or a motion?
I move that the board finds that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 175 contains a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set the title.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The board found that we have jurisdiction to set title. So on to the title. Ms. Benevento, have you had an opportunity to review the staff draft?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We do think it would help to clarify the title if the main purpose of the initiative were stated first, which is requiring a runoff primary election in June between the top two candidates in a primary election. And then continuing on, first, the certain offices, if none of the candidates for that office received a majority of votes at the primary election in April.
Thoughts from board members?
So you'd want to move that to be the first phrase on line three?
Yes.
I was also actually thinking about the single subject stated before the comma seems really broad and not specifically related. So I was going to propose we change it to concerning using runoff primary elections to select political party candidates by a majority vote.
So the runoff would only apply if no candidate receives at least 50% on the initial ballot.
That's correct. Right?
So are you thinking something along the lines of concerning using runoff primary elections when necessary to ensure the selection of political party candidates by majority vote? Because essentially what we're talking about here, right, is if you get your majority vote without the runoff primary election,
it's
superfluous, but
right.
But if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'd be okay with that.
And do we need to include, the staff draft included a mention of the general election, selection of political party candidates. We perhaps instead of using general election, we could say political party nominees. I'm just trying to think of essentially what you're getting at there is that the purpose of the primary election is to select the nominees of the party. Although I could be wrong in that.
I think they're nominees before they're selected for their political parties. They're nominated by the political party and become candidates, I think.
So, yeah, so I would say they're designated to be candidates for the primary election, and during the primary election, they're designated as nominees for the general election. I'm just wondering if we want to make that clear, if that's maybe a little too in the weeds.
I kind of think that most people will think of them as candidates,
okay,
and not nominees.
That makes sense.
I think it makes sense.
Okay.
I think I was going to suggest, too, that on the second phrase there, and I was not opposed to moving the third piece up to be the first one, although it kind of tracks in terms of what happens in time. So first, we're moving the primary. Second, we're requiring people to get a majority vote. Mm-hmm. And then third, if they don't, we're requiring a runoff. So I think there's kind of a logic to the way it's organized.
I do. And I think the change you proposed to the single subject statement addressed our concern that it wasn't clear the main purpose of the provision.
I'm not sure we need to say in general election years after April, because they only hold the state primary election in general election years.
Agree.
And it doesn't shorten it a lot, but replacing office of U.S. Senator and U.S. Representative with a federal congressional office. I always think congressional includes both senator and representative.
I agree.
Okay.
Somehow representative got back in there, Stephen.
So with that in mind, I agree with you. I personally do consider congressional office to be both members of the House of Representatives and Senate. I wonder, though, if based on all state elected offices, and then if perhaps we wanted to make some more modifications to confine it, that we might just want to say candidate for federal office.
But that would include president.
Right, it specifically does not include the president.
Okay, yeah, I guess I always look at that as the electors, but that's probably not clear to the voters. So you're right. You're right. District attorney and county offices.
Yeah, I was going to change to and all county offices. I think it'll be more grammatically easy to follow if we say or a county office. So it's a candidate for, and I'd take out all on state elected offices too and just say a state elected office.
Earlier in the line.
Yeah. So that we just take them all then to singular, since we're talking about a candidate.
Do we need a at all there?
Probably not, and then we wouldn't need it for county office either.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So on line seven, I don't know if I don't want to affect the meaning. Can we just say a majority vote in order to win that party's nomination, or is there some nuances in that line that is necessary to have in there?
We wanted to make sure in the text that it was very clear that it was only the votes cast for that office. And that's where that language seems to come from. But I think it's clear to me for a title that majority of votes would be fine.
I think it does help to change received by to cast for. All, and then cast for all of the candidates running within a political party for that office.
So I'm proposing something's a lot simpler. Okay. So saying to receive a majority vote in order to win that party's nomination. So basically all the rest of line seven. But I don't want to, you know, if there's some important.
We felt like it was important in the text. I don't know that it's important in the title.
Right.
Would it be to receive a majority vote or the majority vote?
It would be the, because it has to be 50% or more. So there could only be one candidate that would receive the majority.
I think we can get rid of in order. The majority vote to win.
Right.
That part is, do we want to say nomination for that office? Or do you think it's necessary?
Well, we probably can't say that party.
That party's nomination for that office.
Right, but we took out the reference to party there to win a party's nomination.
Oh. Yeah, for that office, maybe. I don't know. I kind of want to go back to a or the for majority vote, because you always say a majority vote. You don't refer to it being a specific majority vote. It's just a majority vote.
I think that's because you usually think of it as the vote of a majority of the people.
Right.
Both seem, actually, as I look at it, perhaps a little vague. I wonder if I don't want to add words, but to receive the majority of votes cast.
I think if we're going to go down there, that route, though, we got to go back to cast for what?
Probably just cast for that.
Right, and then we're back to for that office. Yeah. I think, though, now we've lost sort of a vote, majority of votes cast for that office to win a party's nomination. We've lost the fact that it's cast in that party's.
Yes.
Runoff or
primary election. It could say to receive the majority of votes cast in the primary election for that office and requiring a runoff primary election in June.
But it still makes it sound like it's the majority of votes cast by everybody, not just the people in that party.
Right, that's, yeah.
Well, Ms. Benevento, what was your suggestion there?
Let's see. The majority of votes cast in the primary election for that office.
In a party's primary election?
Yeah, that's where I was, that's what I was thinking.
Go back to a parties, not the parties. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you hide the changes real quick, Stephen?
I think that works.
All right, I'll go ahead.
For the third, though, Is it helpful to move for such offices where no candidate receives a majority sort of up to the front of that third phrase?
Oh, and where?
Gotcha.
Yeah. If a single candidate does not receive a majority of the votes cast within a political party for an office.
So to start the last clause, Stephen, we're proposing beginning it with something like, you know, maybe that very last, where no candidate received a majority.
Yeah.
And where no candidate receives a majority.
Yeah. I would change when to if.
Yeah.
You may want to take out in such years since you removed the reference to the election year earlier.
I agree.
And then you could probably end it after April primary election.
Mm-hmm. So, and we need a comma after majority.
On six, yeah.
We don't need top two. I think you just need two between the two candidates receiving the most votes.
And on line six, do we want it to be past tense if no candidate received a majority?
I think it's receives, personally. I think we usually, you always draft in the present tense.
Okay.
So really quickly, mm-hmm. just to make sure we're thinking this through, I assume, is it the same proponents for 175, 176, and 177?
Yes.
And would the plan be to just run one of those
yes.
measures? What's the major differences?
The only difference is the offices that would be subject to a primary runoff okay. if they didn't get a majority vote.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll read the title as drafted. A change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning using runoff primary elections when necessary to ensure the selection of political party candidates by majority vote, and in connection therewith, moving the date of the state primary election to April, requiring a candidate for federal congressional office, state elected office, district attorney, or county office to receive the majority of votes cast in a party's primary election for that office to win the party's nomination. And if no candidate receives a majority, requiring a runoff primary election in June between the two candidates receiving the most votes in the April primary election.
Looks good to me.
All right, I'll move that for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 175 that we set the title as it appears on the screen and was read into the record.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that title's set. And so we will now move on to proposed initiative 2017-2018-176, runoff primary elections for statewide offices. Ms. Benevento.
Yes, our proponents, Hattie Reed and Anna Kummerlow, are here. This initiative is identical to initiative number 175. And our comments are the same. The only difference is that this would only apply to candidates running for governor, secretary of state, treasurer, and attorney general.
And would we like a motion or discussion on single subject?
I move that the title board finds that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 176 consists of a single subject and that the title board has jurisdiction to set title.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes. The title board has jurisdiction to set the title. And Mr. Ward has placed that up on the board and incorporated the changes that we made for the prior initiative.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can you list those offices again?
Yes, if you want it to be consistent, it's just the I believe just the state, well, no, it's not. It's Governor, Secretary of State, Treasurer, and Attorney General.
That looks good. Any other discussion?
Looks good to me.
Okay. We'll read this one into the record. A change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning using runoff primary elections when necessary to ensure the selection of political party candidates by majority vote and in connection therewith, moving the date of the state primary election to April, requiring a candidate for governor, secretary of state, treasurer, or attorney general to receive the majority of votes cast in a party's primary election for that office to win the party's nomination. And if no candidate receives a majority, requiring a runoff primary election in June between the two candidates receiving the most votes in the April primary election. We have a motion on the title.
Yeah, I'll move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18, number 176, as it appears on the screen and was read into the record.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That title is set. We're now on to proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 177, runoff primary elections for congressional and statewide offices. Ms. Benevento.
Hi, our proponents again are Hattie Reed and Anna Kummerlow. And this initiative number 177 is otherwise identical to initiative number 175, and our comments are the same. The only difference is that this initiative would apply to candidates for the office of United States Senator, United States Congress, Governor, Secretary of State, Treasurer, and Attorney General.
So that I may have jumped the gun a little bit earlier in asking if you just run one of these. Is it possible that you would run 176 and 177?
I suppose it's possible.
Okay. Yeah. But not all three.
No. Do we have a motion on single subject?
I move that the title board finds that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 176 consists of a single subject and that title board has jurisdiction to set title.
I think you may have said 176.
Oh, I'm sorry. Proposed initiative 2017-2018 177.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. The title board has jurisdiction to set title. Mr. Ward has placed the staff draft on the screen and is amending away.
Did you verify that the offices listed there are correct?
Federal congressional office, yes, would cover senator and representative, and then governor, secretary of state, treasurer, and attorney general.
Oh, I was wrong. I didn't realize that this does also include. So you would just run one of the three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Okay, so the title as drafted is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes using runoff primary elections when necessary to ensure the selection of political party candidates by majority vote and in connection therewith, moving the date of the state primary election to April, requiring a candidate for federal congressional office, governor, secretary of state, treasurer, or attorney general to receive the majority of votes cast in a party's primary election for that office to win the party's nomination. And if no candidate receives a majority, requiring a runoff primary election in June between the two candidates receiving the most votes in the April primary election.
I move that we set the title for proposed initiative 2017-18 number 177 as it appears on the screen and was read into the record.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That title is set. Thank you, Ms. Benevento.
Thank you so much.
Steve, it looks like our designated representatives for number 168 are not here. So I think we will break until 4 p.m.
4 p.m. Thank you.
Thanks. Steve, next week.